With Victoria mandating mask wearing for people in Melbourne and Mitchellshire when leaving their homes, and New South Wales strongly advising it, masks, what they're made of and how well they stop spread, have been questions swamping Coronacast, the daily COVID podcast made by Tegan Taylor, Will Ockenden and me. Well, a new study should help, and it's just been published in the British journal Thorax. One of the authors is a regular guest on the Health Report, Professor Raina McIntyre, who's head of the biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales. Welcome back, Raina.
Good evening, Norman.
Were you listening to Nir Manakemi's interview there?
I caught the last bit of it, yes.
What did you think?
I think we don't actually have enough data on to estimate population rates of infection. There has been a national serosurvey done, but I think it was done before the resurgence in Victoria, so things could be different today.
So we just need to wait and see. That serosurvey, I think, is of pathology samples and doing testing on blood taken for other purposes.
That's right, yeah.
So let's go to your mask study. And you did this with the Department of the Faculty of Engineering at the University of New South Wales.
Yeah, we've got a great collaboration with the Faculty of Engineering, which has been going for about 3 years. And it's a co-supervised PhD student, Pratik Bal, who was the first author on that study, who's working in my lab in the Kirby Institute doing these experiments to try and look at how aerosols and droplets are emitted from humans during coughing, sneezing, breathing, speaking, and so on. So,
what's the technology that he does to observe it?
So he uses LED lights and a particular method which he's developed with his two engineer supervisors, Professor Con Doolan and Dr. Charitha De Silva, to actually measure the velocity of the emissions as well.
And this is assuming, as did the 230 scientists that wrote to WHO, that aerosols are a significant cause of spread of COVID, of the COVID-19 virus, something that's contested at a Commonwealth level, perhaps not at state level.
Well, I mean, I think the evidence is pretty clear that it's spread by aerosols, and I don't think the debate is actually about science.
So what did you – so you were able to measure aerosols as they were expelled, and you then presumably just tested different kinds of face coverings.
Yeah, so this particular paper is more just a visual representation to show people the difference between not wearing a mask, wearing a single-layered cloth mask, wearing a two-layered cloth mask, and wearing a surgical mask with three layers when you speak, cough, and sneeze. And, you know, you just visually you can see what a big difference it makes when you're wearing any face covering. You know, even a one-layered mask reduces the amount of emissions substantially, but a two-layered mask reduces it more, and a surgical mask is better than a two-layered cloth mask.
Which is interesting, because I think in the past you've said that a single-layer mask isn't really worth it. You've got to really go for three-layer masks.
Yeah, so remember, this study is just a visualization study. It doesn't tell you about the actual clinical effectiveness, so it doesn't tell you about prevention of infection. So when you look at those studies, which is a randomized controlled clinical trials and also observational epidemiologic studies, that's where you get more of a sense of the clinical protection conferred by different kinds of masks.
So surgical masks, according to the Australian standard, are the most effective in terms of what, and those are not the N95 masks, those are just standard surgical masks.
Yes, but this is, remember, for what's called source control, which is for when, you know, on the assumption that someone has the infection, whether they know it or not, if they're wearing a mask, it substantially reduces the risk of them infecting other people because the aerosols don't get out when they breathe, speak or cough.
And the three-layer mask that you and I have talked about on air before, with dense cotton on the inside, cotton polyester, and a waterproof layer on the outside, they're less effective than the surgical mask?
Well, in this study, we didn't test a three-layered cloth mask. I think it's perfectly reasonable to think that you could design a cloth mask that is as good as a surgical mask in preventing outward emissions.
And what about the double layer? Was that two layers of cotton?
Yes. So the double layer, you know, protects more than a single layer, but not as much as three layers in a surgical mask. But we did, as I said, we didn't compare three layers of cloth versus three layers of surgical.
And what about scarves? Because it's in Victoria, they've said, look, your scarf will be fine if you can't find a mask.
So obviously it depends on the material that the scarf is made of. If it's sort of a heavy wool cotton kind of blend or some kind of heavy material, it may be okay. But if it's like a muslin or a silk chiffon type fabric, which is very flimsy, it may not be very effective at all. Really, you need high thread count, fine weave, and quite a dense fabric.
And finally, I've seen online more and more discussion about the candle technique. In other words, put on your mask and try and blow out a candle, claiming that if you can blow it out, you haven't got a good enough mask on. Is that valid?
Look, I only found out about it recently myself from a dermatologist in Brisbane, Dr. Margaret Oziemski, who has designed some cloth masks at a time when she couldn't get surgical masks in Brisbane. And she sent me this information on the blow test where she took some videos of herself blowing out a candle with different masks. And I think it's actually a sensible way that people can test out a mask themselves at home. If you use the same force of blowing, it's quite a good way to check how good your mask is. If you blow out the candle, it's not that good.
Raina, handy information as always. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Bye.
Professor Raina McIntyre is head of the biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales.